Hello and welcome to this episode of Crop Talk. I am your host, Thad Stauffer, and welcome back to this latest episode. Joining me today are my normal cast of characters, Jason Gama, Tom Timko, and Lucas Conmey. And for those of you who may be new listeners or subscribers, Jason, Lucas, and Tom are the state insurance product officers here at Compeer, working with the insurance sales team in all three states for Compeer. Guys, welcome.
Good afternoon.
I am excited to be here with you guys today. It's been a while.
Yeah, and for our listeners, it's been since the early December, the last podcast we put out. And so with holiday season, we haven't had a chance to get together and take time to share information with our listeners. So for those of you tuning in today, here's a rundown of the topics we're going to cover. We're going to touch on ARC PLC, that farm bill decision for each of you, how the supplemental coverage option comes into play, talk a little bit about your multi-peril decisions and tools that Compeer is using around that area, spend a little time talking about private procs, how we can maximize revenue guarantees for you, touch on prevent plant buy-up and why that's an option you should consider, and then we'll round up with some WIP Plus follow-up as that information continues to change from year to year. So guys, as we get started here today, and Tom, I'd like maybe to start with you as we look back at the ARC PLC conversation. A lot of coffee shop talk this time of year when it comes to farm bill decisions. If you would, take some time here for our listeners and just kind of give us the Tom Timko rant, so to speak, on farm bill.
Be my pleasure to do that, Thad. I'm going to start with what we chose to first go around. And if you think maybe not everybody, but mostly nationwide, it was ARC County on corn and soybeans both when we first did the original sign up, and that's because we're in a different price environment or revenue environment.
That's back in 2014 we're talking, right?
But yep, okay. That, correct. And things have changed since then. Can anybody tell me what's changed since that time period?
Coming off lower prices than when we were in 2014, we're coming off really good prices on corn and soybeans.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you were paying attention. I thought it was going to be a trick question.
And so the whole program was different, and that's why we made the choice. We went for the guaranteed payment. So right now, if we're dealing with producers in counties where they're coming off of average to decent 2019 corn yields, most of those producers are usually choosing or going with PLC if price protection is important to them. Okay? If you're in one of those counties that has variable ground, maybe they have yield losses every 2-3 years for whatever reasons, our county may still make sense in that case. But the majority of producers, if they do not have any type of farm bill payment in 2019, are focusing their efforts on 2020 and choosing PLC on corn. Okay. Now, there's a fair amount of counties in my area where I also farm that had prevent plant, late planted corn in the end of May, first week in June. We had green snap of significance where yields for field yields are anywhere from 40 to 120 bushels is not uncommon in a wide area. There's county averages in my area that'll do probably 120 to 140, at least 3-4 of them. And those people, their decision is actually quite easy too. They're going to focus their efforts on taking the guaranteed money, and that'll be in for 2019, which will come out next late October, early November. And they will stick with County ARC because it's basically a guaranteed max payout because of the low yields. So that's basically two scenarios right there on corn. If I'm not expecting any type of government program or payment, more than likely the majority of people will focus their efforts and decisions and take PLC on corn. Again, if they're in a tough yield environment, they will more than likely take the guaranteed payout and use our county.
So, Tom, you talked about PLC being price protection earlier. What are those prices that program is protecting?
You know, I forget the correct name. Is it reference price?
Reference price.
Yep. $3.70 on corn and $8.40 on soybeans. Quick test. Lucas, what do those numbers mean to producers?
So we're looking at national cash average, not crop insurance prices.
Yep.
So we're looking, basis is basically included. It's a weighted national cash price.
Perfect. Not futures. It's important for producers to remember that. And if you look at the different programs out there, we actually track below 370 in the last 4 years, I think at least three times.
17 and 18 were 336, I believe.
Yep. So PLC, basically, I don't know if it maxed out, but there was a pretty substantial payment in those 2 years if you would have had PLC. Okay. Let's talk about soybeans. Soybeans is a different animal. 840 is the reference price, so we have not yet tracked below 840 for a reference price where PLC would actually kick out a payment, right?
848 was actually the lowest we've gone.
Okay, 848.
What year was that?
18?
2018?
18 or 17.
Okay.
So I'm not saying it can't go lower than 840, but will it stay there for very long as we track that throughout the year, right? So, the majority of people are still taking County Arc on soybeans.
Yep.
Now, I've got one guy. He's a marketing guy too, but he's in the middle of Iowa. He says, my beans are always yield 65 to 75. We don't get hail. We don't have issues. Our county's not going to ever have a yield loss in soybeans. Well, I hope he's right, but I didn't think I was going to have 25 inches of more than my normal rain in the last 2 years either, right? You don't know what Mother Nature is going to throw at you. But he says, I'm taking PLC because I don't think we have as much yield risk as other geographical areas, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, he's got a reason for it. It makes sense. You make your decision what's going to fit your operation best, right?
The other reason County Arc looks good on beans goes back to just how the program is built. And you mentioned 2014 producers went into Arc County because we're coming off those high prices. We still have a couple of those prices hanging out there with Arc County on the soybean side. So the first year's a 13, which will drop off because it's an Olympic average, but then we have a 10 and a 9. So we have some little better prices hanging out there for the calculation. That's why Arc County sometimes works a little better.
Is it 2020 or 2021? We'll start to drop our, we'll go from where we're at today. It'll be like maybe $9.25 and then $9. Are you guys familiar with that? Because we're going to be losing some good years, yep. So things yep. are going to change a little bit.
Yep.
Who knows? But after 19 and 20, remember, we're making our elections and enrollment for 19 and 20. They have to be the same. So if you picked up some land in 2020, you do have to enroll for 2020, but the decision on what that program is going to be is going to be made or elected by the 2019 farmer that farmed that land. So next fall, when we start to sign up for 2021, it'll be on an annual basis. Essentially, this first go around is for 2 years. Remember, get in the FSA office before March 15th. You know, if you want to go on March 10th and wait in lines for a couple, 2-3 hours, you can wait, but if you know what you want to do on your farm, I'm going to encourage you to get in there the next couple weeks.
So, Tom, let me ask this, and then for also Lucas and Jason. Tom spoke about Minnesota and kind of, so just real quickly for our listeners, what are you seeing for each of your different areas, and what's generally what producers have been doing and taking? Jason, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so in Illinois, as I've been moving around speaking with producers, it's by and large a pretty wide margin where folks are taking PLC on corn and PLC on wheat and Arc County on soybeans. We haven't talked about Arc Individual yet, but there is a little niche there for Arc Individual. If you are a producer that has 100% of a farm number that ended up being prevented from planting or prevent plant in 2019, there's a little window there where Arc Individual does make sense if that entire farm number was prevent plant. So I do have a few customers in that boat, and those that understand that have taken that. But mainly PLC on corn, PLC on wheat, and Arc County on beans.
Okay. Pretty similar in Wisconsin, PLC on corn, PLC on wheat, and then some Arc on soybeans. It came up in question a little bit. We had obviously some dips in soybean prices lately, so then the conversation came back, do we need to look at PLC? But even with a dip in prices and how the yields look, if you put it in the calculator, Arc County still looks okay. I've had some producers just go PLC across the board to make it easier, But otherwise, it's pretty much the same thing. PLC, corn and wheat, ARC on beans.
Yeah, do you mind if I just talk about ARC individual for a little bit?
Yep,
please. Try to keep this short and non-confusing.
I asked you for 2 minutes the other day. It didn't go 2 minutes.
ARC individual is a unique animal. As Jason alluded to, it does fit a niche. What I'm going to ask you to do is, even if you understand what I say, to maybe confirm it yourself. And there's some good tools out there besides the ones we have in-house. I know North Dakota State University has a good one for ARC individual, but I'm going to give you my best shot at this. Jason's right. If I've got a farm number, one farm number, but remember, it's any farms or fields that are part of that farm number, you have to look because they're all part of that. So if I have two farms under a farm number, one was 100% prevent plant, and the other one, say it yielded 180. Since it's part of the same farm number, it's going to look as though both fields averaged 180 if you throw it under individual ARC. Okay, now I'm going to give you a different scenario. If I had three farms I'm thinking about signing up under ARC individual, all three have separate farm numbers, one field, all 100 acres, all with the 200 APH on corn. Farm number one and two are both 100% prevent plant. Farm number three, average 200. Best APH or best, not APH, are all the same in my, well-drained, tiled, maybe it's got a little roll to it. I'm also going to go on the assumption that the rest of your county did pretty well, so there's going to be no program payments in 19 expected under PLC or county ARC, right? Well, you got a zero and a zero and a 200. When you actually combine farm numbers, now those zeros come into play in the weighted average. All three of those would end up maxing out their ARC individual payment. So if PLC is not important to you and you want a guaranteed payment for the 2019, that'll still work. Just be careful because it can get a little confusing in there.
So, Tom, let's do this for our listeners. You probably explained it better than I've heard it yet to this date, so I appreciate that, and I know our listeners do as well. You mentioned tools. You mentioned NDSU, other resources that our listeners can find on Farm Bill Decision. Any else come to mind?
Farm Doc, University of Illinois.
Yep.
Iowa State.
Good ones, okay. Obviously, we mentioned earlier, we as kind of peer have access to different tools. I think it's also important to note to our listeners as well, this discussion is very good. We've gone down some different rabbit holes for explaining more of this piece. I would point to compeer.com. There is an animated video that Tom, you voiced over, a kind of a short high-level piece on Farm Bill, and the key there is it's additional resources. So I would encourage our listeners to go check that out and get more information, and then go back to Tom, your last comment, or maybe, excuse me, your first comment. Go to the FSA office, talk with them. That is an FSA program, but it is something that we have spent a lot of time to talk to our producers about and help them make an educated decision.
Okay, I'll just be honest.
You weren't before?
No, I was. Most FSA offices will not be able to guide you on individual ARC at all. You can try if you got a good director that farms is pretty well versed, he might be able to help you, but they're not really allowed to give you.
That's fair.
Yeah, be careful on that one. But
that's fair. To sign up, to update yields or anything like that, make sure you do that before March 15th.
You know what? If you think you know what you're going to do, sign up as soon as you can. You can always make changes before March 15th. What about those producers that are gone that maybe they're in a bad area and they have a they're expecting a payment on the county ARC, right? Because they're in. Well, if they don't re-sign up, they will lose that payment in 2019 if they don't get it done by March 15th, unless they would extend that deadline.
I'm gonna ask this. I don't know the answer. Maybe we don't know the answer. Since the 15th is a Sunday, is it extended to Monday like crop insurance?
Yeah,
or not?
Yeah, that's a good point. It is the 16th, so I have been actually apparently making that number up.
Okay,
but.
Last thing I would say, too, on PLC is we do have the opportunity to update our yields, 2013 through 17 yields, and just another plug for Compeer. We've got access to those yields through our AIP partners and reports that we can give to you, so don't think that you have to go and research themselves. research them yourself, we can access that and give you that so you can take to FSA and get those yields updated.
We call those PLC yield reports, and we maybe have one partner doesn't quite have those ready for us yet, and another one's got to make a few tweaks. But the good news is we have to September 30th to get that accomplished or done, so we have some time. Get signed up, and we will provide you help with those after March 15th to make sure we get those numbers updated.
So it made me think here, Tom. You talked about PLC, and I heard both Lucas and Jason mentioned as well for their states. One of the things I think producers need to make sure they pay attention to is if you are choosing PLC for either corn or beans or wheat, especially on the annual basis looking forward, and that's for us to talk with our listeners about the supplemental coverage option, or SCO, as we using an acronym there. Let's talk with our listeners about SCO, what's important for them to understand about SCO, and also maybe a general pricing for SCO, because it is an insurance election if you make a PLC decision on the farm bill.
Yeah, so let me just real quick, as quick as I can, explain SCO. So supplemental coverage option is an election on your crop insurance policy. So we just switched gears from ARC and PLC is a decision you make at FSA. SCO is a decision you make with your crop insurance person. And it's an election on your policy that you make that gives you a band of coverage from wherever your individual policy stops. So if you have a 75% policy, the SCO option will go from 75% to 86%, but it'll be a county-based option. So kind of like the ARC program, where it's got a expected yield for the county, it will use the crop insurance price in the spring to have an expected revenue. It will do a harvest price and the actual county yield, and if there is a loss, or if the revenue is below, then it's going to trigger. So it's not based on what happens with you, but it's based on the county. The liability is set off of your individual policy or APH, set off your guarantee. But that band of coverage from wherever your individual RP policy stops to that 86% will be county-based. So that's the gist of the policy. So it's not individual covered, it's county-based policy, but it's on your policy if you go into PLC.
So Lucas, sometimes I hear him say it's area-based. Is that different than county-based?
No, same term. We're talking about county. Typically, when you talk about area-based plans of coverage, we're talking about coverage in the county by crop.
And you talked about that band sitting on top of your underlying multi-peril policy. So you use the example of 70% would take that SCO then from 70% to 86. If I had an 80% level multi-peril policy, that SCO band would be 80% to 86%. So it just falls on top of. And I've been telling folks, again, even though that upper band is county-based, you're not losing any functionality of your underlying policy that you have today. That is based off your individual farm and your APH. You got prevent plant coverage and replant coverage. All those things still exist. This is an additional band that sits on top, and as you said, is county-based.
Yeah, and this isn't a new thing. This has been around since the last farm bill. But as Tom mentioned early on, most producers went into the ARC County program, which doesn't allow you to sign up for SCO. So that's why SCO is semi-new. We started to hear about it last year, but this year is definitely become more of a conversation.
And that's conversation because of what? I mean, what's driving that conversation?
Yeah. So one of the key things and what really makes the conversation happen is that, I'll be honest, SCO is highly subsidized. So it's got a 65% subsidy rate. And so it looks really attractive. So let me talk about Wisconsin quick and then we can go on to the other states. A higher percentage of people in Wisconsin have a 75% insurance policy, which is, call it, under $10. So we can go from 75% to 86% coverage, albeit county or area-based, but it might only cost $6 or $7 to get that 11% of coverage. So it's a very effective way to get higher coverage, where an 85% policy in a lot of areas of Wisconsin might be $30. So you're having the cost. So it's a very cost-effective way to get higher coverage, albeit county-based. It's an effective way to get up there.
Tom, what's Minnesota look like?
Well, to answer your other question earlier, too, what's changed this year in part of Minnesota, not necessarily in the 7-8 counties where I farm at or nearby, is that producers are going to be taking PLC, so they're eligible for it, right, as you mentioned earlier. So now it's on the table as an option. In my areas where they're going to be taking county ARC because they've got yield losses this year, they're not eligible for it, right? But where they are eligible for it, PLC makes it obviously right eligible for SCO, but the majority of our people in Minnesota, until you get up north, I was going to say up north, and it's really, when I say up north, it's really central Minnesota, but it seems like I'm way up north, is that they're at 80 or 85% level already. So some of those may say, you know what, I'll just take that other extra 5% on my individual policy and be good with it, if that's important to them, and that's just fine. But if we got people at the 80% level, and it's like, you know, I really don't want to go any higher, they're looking at the SCO and seeing, you know what, for just a few extra dollars, it makes sense, especially for 2020. If we do have more acres planted of corn, for example, lower prices, average yield, right, they all go hand in hand. SCO will probably have the best opportunity of doing something positive for them.
So what would SCO cost for 80% level Minnesota general range for the listeners?
Yeah, and I don't look at it as much as I should, and we got such a wide variety geographically. Some areas it might be $5 an acre, $6 an acre, $7, depending upon where you're at.
And if I was at the 85% level and I wanted to add that 1% sliver,
it'd be like a buck.
Okay.
A buck for $10-$11 of coverage.
Okay.
Does it make sense? Financially, number-wise, it says yes, but you may not want to go through that effort, but it's still out there and available to our producers. And now, it's a good fit for those that got PLC, but there are a few random counties, and if you have some good agents that actually know any better, and I know I've got someone in this room that is in a big county up north, slash AKA Central Minnesota, that the yield is wrong in the county. So it's like 30 bushels below where they've actually yielded for the last 4 years. They're not going to choose SCO because it doesn't make sense.
Okay. That's good to know. And that's something you wouldn't think about because you got somebody listening to this conversation here. They're thinking, I'm going to go get SCO. And then they were like, "What? The yield's much less." So that's important to ask those questions. Look, Jason, what's Illinois look like?
First of all, I got to point out the fact that Tom always gives me a hard time for talking too much. And frankly, he's like 50 words to my one at the moment. Just want to make that known.
Quality conversation.
Great. In Illinois, it's very affordable for SCO. Folks that are taking PLC in Illinois, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I'll go as far as saying that. If I'm taking PLC, I'm going to add SCO because, again, like Tom said, in central Minnesota, almost gave you credit for Michigan. That was totally different. We've got higher coverage levels in Illinois, 80 and 85%. So that 80% level multi-peril, you're adding 6% of SCO on top for $5 to $7 an acre, let's say. And those folks that are at 85% multi-peril are adding that 1% of SCO coverage for 70 to 90 cents, maybe a dollar. So very affordable. Yes, it's county-based. But very affordable, highly subsidized, and just makes sense.
And just so our listeners know, the prices we've been, or the costs we've been quoting have been for corn, because of our earlier discussion, we see more PLC on corn than we do beans.
So yeah, I do want to bring up a fact that there are areas where they're talking about making your farm bill decision, your ARC PLC decision, based on the assumption that you're just going to take SCO. So you can only go SCO if you're in PLC, and so we have heard areas that are just going PLC across the board for that reason. I would just say that you need to know, you know, what you're signing up for, and that, you know, that's a conscious decision. Don't get strong-armed from an agent to do that for any reason. Make sure you know why you're doing that, what the repercussions of that are. Yeah.
And that's really important, because I think with SCO, sometimes we forget. And we compare ARC, PLC, and then talk SCO. SCO is all for every insured acre you have of that crop, whereas the ARC, PLC discussion is on your base acre. So much decision, but Lucas, we'll switch gears after this conversation, but you bring up probably the most important point of knowing from an agent you're working with that the information's accurate.
Yeah, just know what you're doing and why you're doing it.
And so I have one more valuable point I just got to bring up.
Yeah, aren't yours all valuable?
They are, but technically I only think Jason's talking too much when I want to talk.
All right, gang, let's switch gears here now. Let's talk a little about the multi-peril decisions. For the listeners itself, March 15th is our deadline. As Tom mentioned earlier, it falls on a Sunday. So March 16th is our deadline. I would guess most producers have met with their agent or will be meeting with their agent. Jason, why don't you share a little bit about what Compeer has done this year to kind of help producers make good risk management decisions?
Yeah, really pretty excited about this decision tool that we've purchased. It's exclusive to Compeer. We're the only folks in town that has it. It's based off of your data. So your data, your actual history is built in and drug into this tool. So that's really exciting. Up until this point, crop insurance in general, whether we're talking about our AIP partners or us as an agency, all the technology and tools that have existed to help you make a good multi-peril decision has really been based on past experience. In other words, you're going to sit down with your Compeer agent and talk about your 2020 policy choices, and that agent's going to try and tell you, well, if you would have taken that type of policy, here's how it would have acted or here's how it would have performed in the past. The problem with that is when you're looking at the past, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years worth of data, it's really still a small subset of data overall. So what our new decision tool is doing is it's really for the first time ever trying to look out into the future instead of just the past. So it's really a crystal ball type of tool. Your data is in there. The county data is in there. Those are real numbers, real facts. But it's ultimately taking all the policy choices you could make in 2020 and running that scenario through 100,000 different simulations, all the varying price differences we could see in 2020, all the different price volatilities we could see in 2020, all the different yield scenarios we could see in 2020, and takes those 100,000 simulations of that 2020 policy and narrows that down into a couple of choices for you based on probability, again, crystal ball stuff, but gives you a really detailed direction to lean towards versus just seeing how a product would have performed in the most recent past.
Yeah, and I appreciate you that kind of recap there, Jason. I would add to the conversation that the beauty of this tool is it helps the discussion. It helps give the information you shared. I think the really nice thing about this is it allows our agent force, our insurance officers, they didn't have that discussion of what are you looking for then, right? What type of coverage, what type of return, what type of revenue guarantee, bushels covered. It does not take the human element out of it. So as agents, we can sit down now and take this data, as you mentioned, and then use that to make the best decision because every scenario can be different. And we want to make sure we bring that deck to the human side of it and make a good decision.
Yeah, ultimately, me as a human, as you've labeled it, sometimes I don't feel that way. But as I am, my brain can only hold so many scenarios, right? So the beauty of this big data and running it through this simulation process is at my fingertips now in those discussions with you, if you were my customer, is running all those scenarios for me. So it just gives me all that data at my fingertips so we could take the conversation any which way you want, what's important to you, and make good decisions based off of that.
Yeah, and to back up what Jason said, I mean, it sounds complicated, but it's so fast and it's so efficient to tell a good story. And I can't back up enough what Jason said. It's really a good tool, and I'm excited for a lot of people to see it.
Yeah, we're excited to offer that to our clients and our prospects as we meet with them this sales season here, as we call it. I would like to make note, we could probably spend a whole hour and talk about multi-peril decisions, which is the value that this tool provides us, is that kind of quick, concise ability to kind of wrap the multi-peril decisions up into a good direction there. Staying with multi-peril, I do think it's important, and guys, if you don't mind, I'll just take this topic here. Prevent plant buyup. We have seen prevent plant throughout the Compeer territory, throughout the Midwest for that matter, off and on the last several years. And there's a portion of the policy that you could elect called prevent plant buyup. It would allow you to take an additional 5% boost on any potential payments based on those scenarios. And if you're interested in that, I encourage you to talk to your agent. That's something that's very important. And just kind of give you a flavor for that cost. If I'm looking at Illinois, that's something that literally is probably 25 to 50 cents per acre. If I switch gears and I start thinking about Minnesota, as Tom talked earlier about the variability in ground, you're looking anywhere from could be 50 cents up to $2, depending on where you're at in the state. And then if I think about Wisconsin, maybe more similar. You're going to have a range, 25, 50 cents. You could have some counties went out that are closer to a dollar, but I think the takeaway there, it's a pretty affordable option to include.
Yeah, two things I want to mention on it as well is that it is affordable, as Thad talked about. So your guarantee on corn as it sits today is 55%. That additional 5% that Thad talked about would get you to 60. And on soybeans, the existing guarantee is 60% for prevent plan on beans, and that gets you up to 65%. The other thing I want to mention, too, is once we start talking about adding additional coverage, the insurance companies actually have the opportunity to deny that coverage if there's a pre-existing cause of loss. In other words, if we have a 2019, again, very wet spring, and we wait to add this, and there's a pre-existing cause out there, they could deny it. So as we sit in a lot of our areas today, early part of February here, 2020, I don't see a lot of pre-existing cause out there today. Again, there could be some areas that there are, but by and large, there isn't. So if we can get that added now, that'll stay on your policy for the foreseeable future. So it's not just what 2020 is going to bring, but additional 5% on prevent plant for affordable rate that could come into play in future years. So let's get it on your policy if it makes sense.
Yeah, good thoughts to think about there. So we've talked a little bit about multi-peril. We obviously spent a lot of time earlier about farm bill stuff and SEO. I think it's important, though, we spend a little bit of time here on this month's conversation on private products. It certainly has come into play for a lot of different areas. There are a lot of different types of private products out there that complement the multi-peril policy. Let's take a few minutes here and talk to our listeners about private products, what to consider, things to be watching out for. So Lucas, let me kick it off to you and let you kind of start this conversation.
Yeah, thanks. Private products are not new. We spent a lot of time, if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, we spent time last year talking about them. They haven't changed. There are a lot of private products, and when we're talking about private products, we're talking about insurance products that are not part of USDA or RMA. They're not subsidized, so they come directly from the insurance company. And as Thad said, we write with multiple different AIPs. We have multiple different options, and so we don't have time today to talk about all of them or any of them in specifics. There are a lot of different rules for each product. So the main thing to think about when you're looking at private products is if your multi-peril and let's say your SCO options don't get you the amount of coverage you need, then that's if you're not getting your break even, your cost of production, then private products is a way to supplement that and get you more coverage. If optional units are important to you, if you need to look at things farm by farm, there's options for that. If just revenue or just price is important to you, we can look at it that way. Just getting them out, most bushels do you want to insure so you can forward market those, we can cover it that way. There are just multitudes of different options that you can take for private products. A word of caution, these are my words, every private product's got its own gotcha, its own kind of set of rules, so it's very important that you explain to your crop insurance person what you're looking for and feel comfortable that they go through all the different rules that they come in. For example, some of them have downward price limits. The price can only fall 50 cents or a dollar. Some of them change on how the loss situation works. So there's just all these little different things that you need to be aware of with these private products to make sure that if you're in a loss situation, the loss works how you think it's going to work.
Yeah, and so most of these products have been out there call for a couple years or more, some of them. And as you mentioned, each AIP's got a different product. And oftentimes, if you've got a good relationship with that insurance provider, an adjuster, an agent, you don't want to leave. So they may have a different private product than what you hear out there. And that's fine. They all work similar or a little different. Some years and lost years, some work better than others, just the way it works. You mentioned it's there to cover the top end of their production costs, right? So we're all trying to manage our margins and our cost. One thing I do want to bring up is they've been out there for a couple of years. We just went through another bad year, lower prices, mediocre prices, thank goodness for good basis on corn, for example. But people are starting to take action earlier than later. Clients, producers are, so they're starting to eat up the liability appetite of these private products, which means each AIP typically only wants so much of that type of product, maybe per state, per county, nationally sometimes. So if you are one of those producers looking for that special band of coverage or buy up in spring price or whatever it might be, I'm going to encourage you to get a hold of your computer agent sooner rather than later and get that inked and signed up or renewed.
It's a really good point, Tom. And there's a high likelihood that even by the time that you as a listener listen to this recording, liability could be gone on some products. So understand if you hear certain products, they may not be available. But the key that you mentioned there, Tom, it's worth repeating. Get in early, lock that in, because when it's gone, it's gone. And the reason for that for our listeners, that liability, because as Lucas mentioned earlier, it's not subsidized. It's on the insurance company's dime. That's important because they only want to take so much risk. Yep. So that's a good piece. Okay. I would wrap up the conversation on private products in this way. They add value based on what you're trying to cover. And it's important you look at those. It's also important you understand what you're buying, because as crop insurance, and we've talked about this before, unique than others, you're going to make a decision here in the next few days or few weeks. Your billing will likely come sometime later this fall. So I want to make sure we close that gap of what you're buying. Tom, let me switch gears one last time here and ask, there's been a lot of talk, we've done it on this podcast, talking about WIP or WIP Plus. Give us an update where we're at with WIP Plus, if you would.
I'm going to make this brief because it's not as easy as you'd think to explain. So I've been asking about WIP Plus at my local FSA office since October, November, and of course I have more information than they do. Not their fault, just the way it is. So WIP Plus, right? WIP is for the fires in Kansas. What WIP stands for is, someone want to tell us?
No.
How about you?
That's why we asked you.
Wildfire, hurricane, indemnity plan, plus us. That's my interpretation. Okay, I like it. So WIP Plus is called for corn and soybeans, probably wheat too, right? I'm in southwestern Minnesota. I had prevent plant in 18. That'll be affected. I had some drowned out in 18. That'll qualify. For WIP Plus is for 2018 and 2019. Basically, what it does is gets you to 95% of your APH. They call that the expected value. So think of your APH times 95% times $4. You're supposed to qualify for some type of flood event in your area. So maybe not every area is going to qualify for any year, or maybe just 1 year, right? What it makes this process easier for the FSA offices to prove, as well as the producers to prove, is if your county was declared a secretarial presidential disaster county. But quite honestly, that doesn't have to be the case. It just means if you're one of those producers that suffered a flooding event, or excessive moisture in some cases, but call it flooding event for now, you just may have to go through a few extra steps to prove it. That might be photos, yield maps, weather reports, things of that nature. I'm just going to encourage you, check with your local FSA office to see if your county or area qualifies to apply for WIP Plus. In my area, we've already got people doing it. A few people have already received payment for 2018. 2019, they're actually taking the applications. But 2019, if I didn't mention it earlier, is only 50% funded. We'll see where they go from that point forward. But again, check with your FSA office. You have all of 2020 to get that done.
Perfect. Well, guys, let's close today's conversation. First of all, let me say thank you to each of you for bringing good, valuable information here to our listeners. For our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We look forward to sharing more information with you in the coming months. If you haven't already, please rate and review, subscribe to the Crop Talk podcast, and we look forward to talking to you next time.